destination of this coach is Hazard, Kentucky. We do there at 5:15. For your convenience, there's a restroom located in the rear of the coach.
You gonna get sick? Huh? Oh my God, he's coming at you!
Alright, when it comes to two-year-old Olivia James, you are not the father.
You've irritated the tool gods. You must now be smeared with the holy grease of disdain.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. It's JG's Radio Free Insanity with your host, James Gutman. Yo, Gutman, what's the ish?
That's right. How you guys doing? My name is James Gutman. As you just heard, you are listening to JG's Radio Free Insanity right here on WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. Today is Friday. It is the third day of February. It is 2006, and you are tuned in to a jam-packed show this week. In part two, we are going to be joined right here on the phone line by the man-beast, Rhino, former NWA World Champion, former ECW World Champion, a guy who saw his career really go from one level to the next very quickly. The story of last year, going from WWE, where he was underused in some cases, or not used at all in many other cases, and going to TNA, shocking the world by winning the NWA title from the Chosen One and Jeff Jarrett. So Rhino's going to be on here. He's going to have plenty to talk about. Very excited about having him on the phone line. But also in part one, we're going to be joined just in a few minutes by Dr. Tom Pritchard, the good doctor, columnist here at WorldWrestlingInsanity.com, former co-host of Bite This, former head trainer for WWE. Dr. Tom, keeping himself very busy lately. He's going to be joining us on the phone. We're going to talk a little bit about WWE this week, and he's going to help us out with this week's Moment of Insanity, so I think you guys will enjoy that too. Real quick in-house note to give you guys. Do yourself a favor and check out the site. Depending on when you're listening to this, yesterday or Thursday, February 2nd, 2006, was the guest column debut of Tough Enough 4's Chris Naraki. Naraki, one of the kids from the final installment of Tough Enough. That's the one that Daniel Puter won and didn't really have its own show. It was kind of a part of SmackDown every week. Naraki, one of the early eliminations, but one of the finalists of the show, appearing on SmackDown for a few weeks doing his thing. Naraki, I think, has a very interesting story to tell, which is one of the reasons why we decided to have him as a guest columnist. He lives right near me. He's a fellow Long Island guy. But one of the things that always got me about Chris is the weird kind of way he's going about his career. And it's not his fault it's weird. It's just the way it kind of worked out. A lot of these guys, they break into the industry, and they start off at high school gyms, state fairs, like 1955, state fairs. But they start off at kind of the smaller venues and try to work their way up. And their goal is to one day be on WWE TV, to be on SmackDown, to be on network television. Here's a guy who started off on SmackDown and on WWE TV and on network television. And because of the time he was with the WWE, he's not exactly, he's not Pewter and he's not Mike the Miz. He's definitely going to have to learn a lot more about the industry and get his name out there. So now, after Tough Enough is over, he's gone back. And he's working the high school gyms. He's working a lot of the smaller venues, getting his name out there and trying to get things together. So, very interesting story. He doesn't have the type of story that you hear every day. So it'll be cool to have him on, checking in every few weeks with an update on where his career stands and telling some stories about some of the things that he dealt with and learned from his brief time with World Wrestling Entertainment. So, definitely cool. Check that out. That is online right now for you guys to see. So, yeah, I mean, and as we just said, this has been a packed week. We have the Royal Rumble. We have Monday Night Raw. We had so much going on this week. All right, guys, so I said we're going to have him on the phone line, and here he is, WorldWrestlingInsanity.com's own Dr. Tom Pritchard. Dr. Tom, what's up, man?
Tired. Tired, man, but I'm all good. It's all good.
A lot less energy than I have, I guess, today.
Yeah, well, yeah. we're all tired at times, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this week is it's a tiring week. We've had a lot of crazy stuff going on in the industry, and Rey Mysterio wins the Royal Rumble. Kurt Angle emerges still world champion of SmackDown, and John Cena is the new WWE champion over on Raw. Got a hell of a lot going on, then.
Yeah, from what I understand, there's quite a lot going on, and the more I shake my head, the more I just say, why?
Yeah.
And honestly, I know nothing's sacred in this business, but at the same time, I don't know if I'm just getting older or if things are just passing me by, but sometimes I think, what is the reason to the madness? Is there any reason to the madness or method to the madness at all going on over there, man?
I don't know, man. I know where you're going with this. Hold off on that for 1 second, because you're actually alluding to what we're going to have for the moment of insanity this week, which is just freaking mind-blowing on so many levels. What are your thoughts, though, before we jump into that, on John Cena? John Cena is the world champion. I know you wrote the column about Edge winning the world title, and he held it for all of, 2-3 weeks?
Yeah, but once again, I think it's good that John got the title back. If for nothing else, to give him another shot to prove that he's a guy that can carry the title. And I know a lot of people don't agree with that. A lot of people don't like John Cena. But here's the thing. You've got to look at your options. And Edge was one option. Edge was good. Give him a chance. But John Cena had something to prove. And I think they, being creative, are going to give him the ball and let him prove it.
Let me ask you this, though, because, I mean, I don't think the issue really is John. I think it's, because I've always said, I think John Cena, he should remain in the main event. They spent so much time building him up. To kind of pull him down the ladder now would be, just a waste of time. But the thing that worries me is, with John Cena at the helm as WWE champion, it looks more and more likely like this is the setup to get Hunter Cena at WrestleMania.
That's a good possibility, because I know Hunter wants a high-profile match, obviously, and I think if anybody can bring it out of Cena, it'll be Hunter. So that's a great way to think, and a good way to look at things. And I don't know that John Cena versus Triple H would be a bad match at all.
Well, do you think, at this point, it looks like Hunter's got kind of that tunnel vision where he knows that sometime before he laces up the boots, he's going to break Ric Flair's record. He's only got one more title win to go before he breaks the record for most world title wins. Do you think that's going to happen this year? Do you think it's the kind of thing that he's going to hold off on? Or it sounds silly to even ask you because...
Well, here's my opinion. When you have the ability to rewrite history... Why not?
Yeah.
When you have that option and it's in your hands, you can do whatever you want. You can create your own legacy. You can be as great as you want people to think you are. And why not go for it?
Yeah.
That's my opinion of the way I think some people think up there.
Well, I think what's going to be funny, I think with Hunter, this is the kind of thing where we're not going to see it for a long time from now, but you look back on, guys like, I hate to just name names, but a lot of these guys that got to the spots they were through nepotism and things like that back in the older days, there was no internet, and even newsletters to a certain extent were kind of more low-key than they are now. So it almost seems like back in the day it was easier to kind of get away with that and not have people know that you were in the family or that you were doing political favors to get your spot. Do you think with the internet and with so much being written and so many things like World Wrestling Insanity, the book coming out about Triple H and his...
Oh, nice book.
You like that, right?
Yeah.
With Triple H and his maneuvering, do you think that 10 years from now when people look back... Are they going to look at Hunter just as a great wrestler who achieved so much, or do you think people are going to be too smart to kind of fall for that like they do with a lot of guys?
What I think is a lot of the people are going to look back and say nepotism and point the fingers to Hunter, for being married to the boss's wife. Those are going to be the people who are envious and want to bring him down anyway. But you have to remember, Triple H really is a student of the game. He really is a damn good worker in the ring. Whether you like him or not, whether you like his style or not, he does understand how to put together a match, how to tell a story. He does understand how to get the most out of less. And this is from, again, being around him and listening to him. He does get the gist of what the business is about. So it's not just nepotism. Sure, that helps. I mean, having an in and politics are part of life, but bottom line is, he can really back it up. He's not Sid Vicious.
Mm-hmm. No, I know.
I mean, he really can. He can go out there and make chicken salad out of chicken crap.
There you go.
I mean, I've seen him do it. I've heard him go over matches. I've heard him go over ideas. So while a lot of people may have this preconceived notion about why he's where he's at, the truth of the matter is he works his ass off, and his work ethic is only second maybe to Vince.
See, you know what, the thing with him that gets to me, because it's not his in-ring ability. I mean, as a performer, I mean, anybody who doubts his in-ring ability has to look at, you know, WrestleMania 20 when he did the three-way with Michaels and Benoit that literally blew everyone's mind on that point. The thing that always bothered me about Hunter and his character is that when you're feuding with Hunter, in that moment, he makes you look good. In the ring, you look good, you do your thing, you guys can have a great match. But for some reason, when he's done with his feuds, he leaves these broken characters in his wake where that, when he's done with them, it's almost like they slip out of the spotlight to the point where a lot of them don't even recover. I mean, you're talking the guys he's feuded with, Scott Steiner, Goldberg, Booker T, you know, Randy Orton. I mean, it seems like it takes people more time to recover from a feud with Triple H when they finally get killed, Eugene, when they finally get killed, than they actually gain from it initially. You know what I mean by that?
Well, I do, but at the same time, you have to look at the names you just mentioned, Steiner, Goldberg. Randy is an exception. But Steiner and Goldberg would slip away regardless, in my opinion. And if they slip away, you can't blame Triple H, because if they were as aggressive as he is towards their career, then it would be a different story. And that's what you have to be. You have to have that ambition, and you have to take care of yourself, and you have to have the allies, obviously, and certainly Hunter would be a great ally to have once he's done with you. But if you're that good and you're that persuasive, then it's up to you to get Vince to sign off on her, not Hunter. I mean, Hunter can persuade all he wants, but the bottom line is, it comes down to Vince.
Yeah.
So all those guys, you know, you mentioned Steiner and Goldberg, if they really wanted to go past that, then they would have learned how to be a manipulator as such as Triple H.
No, that's actually a good point of view on it. Well, let me ask you this then. Let's say Hunter goes to WrestleMania. Let's say he beats John Cena. Where do you see John Cena 6 months from now?
Oh, man. If Hunter beats John?
If he beats him at WrestleMania, where do you see him sometime around, I guess, Survivor, SummerSlam? Where would you see Cena being?
Man, that's really hard to say because, honestly, I don't know who will be there or who won't after WrestleMania.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for Cena, hasn't really had anybody. He's wrestled some of the, well, he's wrestled the top guys, and there was always something that people said was missing.
Yeah.
That the people just didn't get behind him like they should. So after WrestleMania, I don't know who's going to be hot and who's going to be not, but 6 months from now, man, I would hope he'd still be a player, but that's a hard call. I really couldn't give you even thinking about him, drawing a blank where he would be, because I think he would still definitely be in the main picture.
Just don't know
going after Triple H.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think it's funny with WWE right now. It's gotten to the point where you can't really even think 2 months ahead anymore, just because, I mean, things that you would never expect to happen end up happening, which is a great segue, because I'm actually segueing us into our moment of insanity, something that went down close to 6 months ago, and now is being used in a way that I don't think anybody saw coming. And Tom, I'm glad you're going to be here, because I think you'll have some insight on this. The readers voted for it, so without further ado, guys, here it is. It's this week's moment of insanity.
All right, JR. Time for your colon surgery, and everyone on I'm Dr. Heine. I want you to meet Nurse Robert Knockers.
It wasn't my fault.
Fear is only a four-letter word.
The world's largest love machine, Viscera.
Woo! As voted by you, the readers of WorldWrestlingInsanity.com, it's this week's Moment of Insanity.
Hey, what happened?
Viva la raza!
That's right, guys. There you have it. This week's moment of insanity is the, exploitation of the death of Eddie Guerrero for WWE to use to sell some of their pay-per-views. Quick backstory, in case you guys missed out on the Royal Rumble and spent your money on fun stuff. Rey Mysterio Jr. won the Royal Rumble, dedicated to Eddie Guerrero. Did the whole thing again, his car, his theme song, all that stuff for Rey's entrance. That's fine, that's cool, it's his friend, he has a right to do that. The problem that a lot of people had was the following night on Raw, when Triple H came out to wrestle Chavo Guerrero and did his entire pre-match speech talking, I can't take it out on God or Eddie Guerrero. So he went out there and he beat up Chavo and did his thing with that. Yeah, very kind of uncomfortable for a lot of people, but the main thing that some people voted for, and I know usually we don't give spoilers here on the audio, but yeah, if you're listening to this before Friday night and you haven't seen SmackDown, you could tune away now or go to part two and listen to this tomorrow. Randy Orton came out, continuing his feud with Rey Mysterio Jr., and decided to get some heat for himself by tearing in to Eddie Guerrero and telling Rey that, and I'm quoting here, Eddie Guerrero is not in heaven, he's in hell. This all taking place just shy of about 4.5 to 5 months after the passing of Eddie Guerrero while he was an employee of World Wrestling Entertainment. And Tom, I'm just fucking speechless, man. I don't know what to say.
Well, here's why I'm torn to, because one of the things, the boys, or at least the guys that I know, we can rib about anything at all. We can say anything, but, if we ask about somebody who said, oh, he died, well, we'd always say, oh, you're ribbing, right? So, well, I don't rib about stuff like that. That, to me, is something, knowing Eddie's family and knowing Eddie, mm-hmm. it's hard.
Yeah.
And the reason being, we put it in the context of, we know it's edgy, we know it'll get a reaction, we know it's controversy. Put it out there and people will go, oh my God, I can't believe he said that. But what I'm afraid of is the reaction that WWE might get is the reaction you're feeling and I'm feeling is, oh my God, come on. I mean, there was Katie Vick, now this is a little more real. And to say it, it's getting heat on Randy, but is it really heat or is it just disgust?
Yeah.
And that's the issue that I think is going to follow WWE with this, because we all know Diddy, and anybody in that locker room will tell you, he was the guy that everybody looked to. So they're keeping his name alive, but he still has young daughters. He still has a wife, and they know it's a work. They know it's make-believe, and they know it's TV, but at the same time, it's still real because it's their dad and their husband. Uh-huh. And I don't know if it just turned more people off than get the reaction they think they were going to get.
Well, I mean,
I understand totally how it would come up, and they would say, yeah, man, and then you say that, nobody would expect it because it's real. You know, you're shooting. Well, there's no such thing as a shoot anymore. It's all a work shoot. Whatever you say, you know you're going to say it. You're saying it for effect, and I just don't know if it's going to be the right effect.
Well, see, you brought up an interesting point when you talked about the difference between heat and disgust. I think one of the things in this industry that I've noticed, especially in the last few years, because it really wasn't that prevalent when I was younger, but now it seems to be more and more, it's going out of their way to kind of do things that are as offensive and kind of distasteful as possible. And everything is kind of always, at the end of the day, rationalized by saying, well, it's for heat, you know. And you brought up the fact that there's a difference between disgust and heat. And I think one of the things with the situation is that Eddie was wrestling for WWE at the time, and it's so new. This isn't Terry Gordy being ripped on by Edge. This isn't, Hennigan ripping on the death of Road Warrior Hawk. I mean, this isn't somebody who passed away, years ago on someone else's clock. I mean, this is a guy who was main eventing WWE programming in November, died on the McMahon's watch, and I'm the type of guy, Tom, I've never really blamed the McMahons for deaths in wrestling. I mean, I blame them for no health insurance and no union, stuff like that. But I mean, at what point, if you're the owner of a company, do you kind of feel like a moral obligation to maybe show some reverence towards it, considering that he was working for you when he died? I mean, does that ever enter the picture when it comes to figuring things like this out?
Oh, you just said a word that I don't know creeps into anybody's vocabulary over there. It's moral. There are some really good people at WWE, and I think really deep down, Vince is a pretty damn good guy. But when it comes to business, all bets are off. And if you can use something real to get heat or get a reaction, I don't know what if he's going to expect the reaction he's going to get.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
Because it may be disgust more than just actual, you know, I want to kill the heel heat. Thinking about it, because taking into consideration, he does have three young kids, and a wife. You know, and to hear them say he's not in heaven, he's in hell. I understand the business, I understand the work part of it, and I understand that, you know, sometimes you just do what you gotta do and grasp the straws, and that's what I feel Randy was doing. But for normal people, let me say that, for civilians, who hear that, they might say, oh God, that's uncalled for, and that's just, there's no reason for that. But, you know, living in that bubble, sometimes you hear it and you go, oh my God, that's great heat.
Yeah.
So it may be misguided on Randy's part or whoever fed him the wine, but, you know, time. time will tell.
Yeah, I mean, there's a wrestling, but I was actually going to ask you about that next. It is a wrestling bubble. You kind of, you're in that world, and you don't really think outside of that. Cause, I mean, one of the things that we always try to do is I kind of feel like sometimes we take, you know, the industry, and we kind of make it seem like it has rules that are separate than the real world, which it does to a certain extent. But things like this, I mean, if this was a scripted TV show of any nature that had an actor in real life, you know, pass away while working on the show, and then you have one of the villains on the show mock the death of that person, that actor, in the context, you know what I mean? It's
yeah.
Too real to really be
but
brought out like that.
That's the thing. I mean, being in the wrestling bubble, and I'm guilty of it just as much as anybody else, because the last thing I wanted to do was live in the real world and be a normal person and live by normal rules. I that's never what I wanted to do. Once you break away from that somewhat and you get a different perspective, again, you know, I lived my life like there was no tomorrow, and finally you come across circumstances and you realize there is other things outside of the bubble you were living in and outside of the things you were doing. Unfortunately, for the people in Stanford, and good, bad, or indifferent, that is their entire world. That is 24/7, the show, what goes on. And it's hard to gauge what the outside public would think or what someone out of the Northeast would think. You know, someone passed, I don't know, Virginia, they have no idea what the reaction would be, and they don't care. I doubt that, you know, some of those guys up there know what the price of milk is. You know, in other words, you get wrapped up in it so much, you just feel like, ooh, in your mind, this is hot, this is sizzling hot. Looks great on paper, but once it's said, then you gotta realize the rest of America or the rest of the world is gonna go, oh, come on. Maybe that wasn't necessary.
Well, I mean, the final thing before we start reading the reader rants that I did want to ask you about is, at the end of the day, outside of Eddie's family, and outside of the reasons for doing it, the bottom line of the whole thing is that it's done, as we said before, to get a reaction. It's to get heat from the fans. In that sense, how wrong is it for WWE to exploit the grief of the fans? Something that, and I think what really bothers me the most is that the day after Eddie's passing, the day of Eddie's passing, on that Monday Night Raw, they did the tribute show. And granted, I mean, I think that there were certain points of it that could have been done a little more reverence with it. But for the most part, I thought it was a good show in that it paid tribute to Eddie. And in many ways, it almost feels as though now WWE is exploiting the feelings that fans have for Eddie Guerrero to get heel heat, where a lot of fans kind of felt WWE's initial handling of it, you kind of felt, well, they get it. They know where we're coming from. They know that we're grieving over this. And fans did grieve, man. I mean, a lot of fans, I mean, I talk to myself, it's a little different, but I know a lot of fans have never lost people in their lives. So for them, losing Eddie was a huge deal. And now it almost seems like you kind of feel stupid. You kind of feel like WWE is now looking at the emotions that the fans had and not thinking to themselves, you know, let's kind of try to foster a bond with our audience by showing that we understand their grief. Instead, let's exploit that grief and try to make money off of the fact that they're sad about this guy being dead. I mean, at the end of it all, is the basic premise behind why they're doing it just wrong?
Well, yeah, the other side of that is they're keeping Eddie's name alive, you know, and that might be their way of thinking that they're keeping Eddie's name alive. You know, he was so popular and he was so over, not just with the fans, but with the boys, he's still being interjected, you know, through Ray and through Chavo, in the storylines. So, I mean, I've been up all night, and
that's another story we'll have to cover, I guess, later on.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But they're keeping Eddie's name alive, and the only way I guess they can do it is by, you know, figuring out how to get heel he out of it, because he was so popular.
Yeah.
He was so older. So
They have to rationalize it somehow. I mean, obviously they're not going into it with an evil intention. I think what you said about kind of living in that bubble and not really thinking outside of your immediate kind of line of sight is one of WWE's main problems. They just they don't think too much, and I think that leads to a lot of the continuity errors on TV. That leads to them dropping things because they never really think about how their fans are going to react or what their fans are interested in seeing. It's more or less, you know, what can we throw to the wall, and if it sticks, it sticks. If not, then, you know, we have a lot of shit stuck to our wall, you know?
But how much interaction do the writers have with regular people? Not much, yeah. Honestly. I mean, not much. And they're the ones writing the show. How much interaction do you think Stephanie McMahon has with people outside the wrestling business?
Yeah.
No,
not much at all.
Well, even how is she supposed to judge marketing surveys and things like that? So, it's all perspective and their perception of what they think will be next heel move, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, the readers voted for it left and right. Let me get to some of these rants real quick. MCUS Title Belt, one of our readers on the Insanity boards, actually said it doesn't surprise him that the game wiped his ass, as he put it, with Eddie's memory. But the fact they actually got Dean Malenko to play along with Ray's antics in the backstage victory celebration, it just galls me. From there, it kind of goes off on Dean Malenko's situation here. I mean, that's another thing, too, Tom. A lot of these people are bringing up, you know, Rey Mysterio, Chavo Guerrero. I mean, at what point does Rey turn around and say, you know, being in the main event slot really isn't as important to me? You know, I mean, as participating in this, do you think that, I mean, what's the rationale going into that? Do you think they're rationalizing it as we're putting Eddie's memory alive, or is it kind of like
our work? And I think Rey is really doing it with the intentions of praising Eddie and letting Eddie know that, man, you're down here, and Eddie would probably look at it. And I don't, you know what, it's all, again, just speculation, but I think Eddie would look at it as saying, go for it, man, and you're keeping me alive and in there, and he always will be, but he's in the forefront, because he was probably the most, well, one of the most popular guys on SmackDown. And with them doing the angles and Ray thinking the same thing, man, brother, I'm doing it for Eddie, and I'm fighting for Eddie, and we're keeping his name alive, and it sells more t-shirts, and it helps his family. But then again, I can't look inside their heads because I'm not there.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they're thinking.
No, I agree.
It's just my personal opinion. And I know that Eddie loved the business. He was born into it. So, you know, he would. It's an exploitive a word.
But you can use it.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, you're exploited in the business anyway. You're thrown out there and you do what you do and you sell yourself and you get over.
Mm-hmm.
Or you don't.
Yep.
And Eddie got over. And that's the way it is. He was in that business. And even in death, it's happening.
Oh, yeah.
Right or wrong, disgusting or not, it's happening. He's being exploited, and not always for the right reasons, but some people might feel they are.
Yeah.
And who's to say?
You know what? I mean, it's definitely the kind of situation, I think, where I mean, this is what makes things so hard, is that, you know, Eddie's not with us, so we'll never know how he would have felt about this this angle as a whole. I mean, maybe people can operate on what they knew from before, but I like your concept about Ray. I do agree with you. I think that Ray and Chavo, I mean, they're not doing it out of any other reasons, in my opinion at least, other than that they've either convinced themselves or they believe from the beginning that this is being done to keep his name alive. But definitely, I think as a whole, there's too many, I mean, just disgusting subplots to this whole thing, and I think that's one of the main problems. One final rant we'll read out before we close this up, and this one goes to Foot. Why do you guys have names like this? Sorry, man, sorry. I can't pronounce this guy's name. Hang on. His name is Futoomch, registered on the message board. He put it best. He said, "It would be one thing for any wrestler to dedicate a match to Eddie, but to continuously do it, and in the case of Chavo Guerrero and Rey Mysterio, it has become their gimmicks. And now Hemsley and Orton are getting really bad heat from it by blaspheming Eddie's name. This isn't incompetent or even lazy booking. It's crass and exploitive that the WWE would continue to try and make a buck off their fans by using their fond memories of Eddie by portraying their heroes and villains in such a fucked up way." And, yeah, I mean, I think we should just leave it at that. For the rant, I mean, at this point, it's the kind of thing where we can look at it from every possible angle. But I mean, people have their own views on it, and this is one of those situations where each person has to make up their mind for themselves, I guess.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. You don't know when you're going to cross that line between heat and disgust, and obviously it disgusted a lot of people. Yep. So you know, you're going to have to WWE is going to have to deal with that, and hopefully not lose those people. And I don't believe, honestly, that at this point WWE is concerned with if you love them or hate them. It's if you buy the pay-per-views or if you don't, or if you watch or if you don't. That's what they're pretty much, I think, concerned about. You can hate him all day long for exploiting his name and memory, but as long as you watch and as long as you buy the pay-per-view, that's the bottom line.
There you go. No, I totally hear you, man. There you have it, guys. I mean, that's this week's moment of insanity. It's the usage of Eddie Guerrero's death to kind of sell characters, sell pay-per-views, sell the Royal Rumble, sell, I don't know, whatever the hell you people want to buy. Remember, guys, voting starts now for next week's moment of insanity. Jump onto the Insanity message boards. Go to the Gutman Zone. Vote away, or you can send an email to insanity@worldwrestlinginsanity.com. Dr. Tom, thank you so much, man, for joining us here today for this.
We're not going to talk about why I'm tired.
You want to?
We'll see. Maybe it'll be a surprise. I haven't been on the internet yet, man. I just got home, so I mean, I don't know if anybody even knows I was there.
No, I haven't seen anything.
Okay, then never mind.
So it's up to you?
No.
All right.
We'll wait because I don't want to change anything.
Nope.
But just suffice to say that I've had a long, long day, long night, and I need to recoup.
Not a problem, dude. I will let you go and recoup. Thank you again, man, for coming on. And guys, keep your eye out. Talk to Tom. Send me back sometime probably next week with a new column right here on the site.
Oh, most definitely, man. I'm working on it right now.
Beautiful, man. Thanks, Tom.
You got it.
Take care. So there you have it, guys. Dr. Tom Pritchard, exhausted. Why? Well, yeah, I don't know. Read around the internet. You'll find out. You know the drill. Part 2. Features Rhino from NWA TNA, so do yourself a favor, flip over there right now. We'll be joined on the phone line by the Man Beast, Rhino. So stay tuned, flip over, and check it out.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.